Okay. So it says, right, the Mishnah says, Yehuda ben Tamai, Shimon ben Shetach, Kiblu Mehem, Yehuda ben Tamai Omer, Atas Asmacha Ka Orchaya Dayan. Okay, you should not make yourself like Orche HaDayanim. Okay, so what is Orche HaDayanim? So that's actually a Mechodos.
Okay. You should not what yourself?
You should not make yourself, it's talking, yeah, you should not make yourself Ke Orche HaDayanim. Okay, so Orche HaDayanim means the, I mean literally, it, well, we're not sure exactly literally what it means, but literally, you could say it means Orech means to arrange. Okay, like Shulchan Aruch, like an arranged set table. So the setting of the Dayanim, of the judges, you should make yourself like one who sets up for the judges. Okay, or who arranges judges. Okay, so what does this mean? So the Rambam says what it means basically, to paraphrase, he says that there are those, there were those people, I think nowadays they call them towing, like if you go to Bez, then you can hire a towing, which means somebody that prepares you with the right things to say in front of Bezdin. Right? So that's what the Rambam says, that there were people that learnt, studied the court processes, procedures, and the halachos, and exactly how the court functions, and what they would do is they would prep the litigants. Okay, so if a person is going to go into court and has a certain taina against somebody else, so they would tell you what to say and not to say. Okay, because if you're going to say certain things, you're going to ruin the case. Okay, say other things, that's what you need to say to win your case. Okay, and the Rambam says they would set up like a mock court, have judges there and witnesses, and say, okay, now let's say the judge says this to you, what do you answer? Now let's say a witness comes in and attacks you with this, what do you, how do you proceed? Okay. And it seems that the Rambam's not saying necessarily that the coach tells you to lie. Okay. But he's just telling you what are the effective ways of presenting a case and what things not to say and what to emphasize and what to avoid. Okay. But not necessarily to lie. Okay. Because the Rambam says like this. The Rambam says, he says, V'afa pi shiyeda bo shehu ha'ashuk. Okay? Even if you know, because why are you doing this? Let's say you're doing this because the person that's coming to court is really 100% justified. And he's victimized by that other person. He's against another person that clearly took advantage of him, did whatever it was, but this guy is clearly a victim. Okay? And if he's going to go to court without any kind of, you know, coaching, you don't know. Maybe the guy will come out, maybe, right? The other guy's a very sharp guy, and the other guy knows how to handle himself, and you're just doing this, really, to get justice. Okay? The Rambam says, still, you're not allowed to do it. You're not allowed to give the guy any information of how he should handle himself in the court, what are the right things to say, how the court views it. You can. The only thing you tell the guy is, if you have a thing, go to court. But you cannot give him any information or any type of advice of how to handle himself in court. Okay? Even if you know this guy is 100% justified. And you're going to help the guy win his case, and he really deserves to win. He was cheated by the other guy. Okay? I'm so still not going to know how to do it.
It's interesting because it sounds like all you're doing is just providing him with knowledge. You're not? You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
It's just giving, it's kind of like if I were to read a book and I get information, and okay, you can tell me information too, you know? It just sounds like what are you doing wrong? You're just providing information. It's not like you're
giving the guy information. I mean, what could be wrong with knowledge? I mean,
well, wrong with
what
knowledge.
Are you doing wrong?
Yeah. Well, the nature of it is not, I mean, it's kind of like a perversion. It's kind of, I mean, the court is supposed to be finding the truth, and this is just like, this is knowledge of like how to manipulate something, you know? Okay. This is not, this is like knowledge of how to win. not knowledge of, let's say, like our whole core system is about, like, you know, finding out what really happened, and, you know, ideally, like justice and truth, you know?
Sure.
And knowledge of just the court system is just like a, more of a manipulative,
sure,
you know, endeavor.
Yeah, but he's saying even if the guy's totally justified, you can't help him. Let's right. say the well, guy really saying, stole money from him.
Right, it's saying don't become this person who's knowledgeable about the court system.
Yeah, sounds weird, no? I can help a guy, who's, you know, he's justified.
Right, well, the truth, well, I mean, I'm mean to whatever you're like. Yeah, the truth is the truth. That's the business there to kind of pick out, you know? This is what the job of the animate. All right. Listen, I don't know if I agree with this. It's a little idealistic, you know?
Because this is assuming that you can, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is assuming that you can have a case where a guy is justified and he really got wronged. But the courts will come out not in his favor, even though he's justified, just because he didn't say something the right way.
Not in his favor.
It's possible. Well, what he's saying is, I mean, ideally, the court is supposed to come out with the truth. But it is possible that a person can go to court, and because he, you know, said a certain thing, the case was invalidated. You know, it's possible that a person could go to court, and because of the other guy's expertise, he could lose the case.
Yeah.
Even though ideally, right, the purpose of the dayanim is to get down to the truth.
Yeah.
Okay, but it is possible that you could walk in with a disadvantage. It's possible in a particular case. I mean, generally, it's not the case. Generally, the purpose of the dayanim, like you say. Purpose of the dayanim is to get down to the truth, okay, and not to that the person should not be at a disadvantage because he doesn't know how the system works, okay. But it is possible in a particular case that a guy having certain knowledge will give him an advantage. Right? But the Rambam's saying you're not allowed to provide him with that advantage.
Wait, then don't become the guy who studies the court's ways, right?
Well, because you're not permitted to interfere at all, to give the guy any advantage. I mean, it's not a problem with studying the court's ways. I mean, a person can study the court's ways all
right,
the time.
They just don't want you to be someone, presumably someone who does this stuff. Like
who does this, who interferes and supplies people with good defenses. Even if it really, ultimately, it's really, he should have that advantage. It would be just for him, in this case, it would be just for him to have that advantage. Okay? But he says, don't do it. Right? So, I mean, in other words, what it's saying is, like along the lines you're saying, that there is a system here, right? And the question is, where you have an individual, there would be an individual would arrive at justice more likely with your help, okay? But you're sacrificing the system. There is a sacrifice to the system. Okay, it's a perversion of the system. In terms of the overall system, it's wrong. Right? In terms of this individual, yes, it would be more advantageous. It would be more just vis-a-vis him. But in terms of the system, it is a perversion. Okay? So that's really the conflict. Yeah, where you have a conflict between an individual and the system. Which one really takes precedence, right? So that's what the Pirkei Avos is saying. Pirkei Avos is saying, even though for this individual, it definitely would be a greater justice for him to have that knowledge. But in terms of the system, it's a perversion of the system. So where you have the individual versus the system has to come first. So you described it as an idealistic, but it's this ideal. That is an ideal. Okay? That's what they're saying. The ideal of the system comes before the Yahud. right?
Before the what?
Before the yachid. The system has to take precedence over the yachid. Even though the yachid, the individual, suffer over here, may suffer an injustice, but it is better that the system should not be perverted and allow this individual to suffer a perversion.
I still don't understand what the perversion is, though.
Aren't the system?
Yeah, don't you just have information now?
It's a good question.
What do you have information of?
You have information of the system. It's, you can't, by definition, you cannot go outside of the system. It won't work. You know what I'm saying?
I'm saying, why do you have, like, there's no, that knowledge isn't necessary to engage the system.
Why not?
When you have better knowledge, you have no, you don't need to know any of that.
Well, if I have better knowledge of it, then yeah, I can know the ins and outs. I can know how the system works and know how to maneuver within that system.
Well, that's the point. The maneuvering is the point.
But I don't understand how that's a perversion. That's just maneuvering within the system. You're in the system. You can't be outside of the system.
To be easy.
I'm just saying you have information. I don't understand the problem. Let's say this guy didn't go to anyone, and he was one of those guys who had to go to a court case. He's got a lot of information. Would you say he's perverting the system, or would you say that he just knows the system very well?
That's right. Right. If he knew the information, right? So then you're right. I mean, he's a Talmud Chacham, so he knows what to say and what not to say.
So is that a perversion?
It's right. Like,
you wouldn't call that perversion. Right?
What's the word I'm looking for? Not conniving. Something else I think it's starting to see. It's like when you manipulate someone. Like you know someone reacts to certain things. So you could kind of bait them to get the reaction that you want.
I understand.
Even if it's not necessarily, you know, even that's not what is the real result of the truth, right? There's fact. The thing is this. There's facts, right? The court case comes in and there are real facts. And the whole thing is that we're trying to find the facts, right? Mm-hmm. So these judges, their goal is to kind of dig and separate, pull out the facts from everyone's, you know, emotional argument, right? But the facts are the facts. Right? So if you know what principles they're using, what mechanisms they use, right, in making this, in decision making and pulling out information, right? So I won't say these are the facts. It's also like what brings about a din, right? If you know like what brings about a din, right? So now you can, if you know how this mechanism works, it's like then I mean, just that. You can kind of...
That's what I'm saying. Are you going to tell me that a Talmud Chacham cannot go to court? Let's say the guy who would teach someone, who was a Talmud Chacham, he knows all the halachos. You tell me he can't go to court now? That's ridiculous.
Say one more, say again.
Let's say you have a Talmud Chacham. He knows all the halachos. He knows the ins and outs. So you're going to tell me now because he knows...
Oh, that's different. This guy's
Why is that different? Why is that different?
This is the guy who's going to study the workings of the court for this very sake.
Who cares what his purpose is? All I'm doing is I'm giving him info.
Okay, here's this. All right, okay, so I think maybe we should clarify this. Knowledge is not an evil.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Knowledge is not an evil.
Okay.
Okay? But here you have a guy who's going DACA for the reason of manipulating the court system.
So even if you're telling me, fine, I understand that. So let's say, take a case by case. The guy wants to go because he knows he's right. He just doesn't want to lose because the other guy knows it. Now what are you going to do?
Say one more time.
You're telling me a philosophical argument, this, you don't want this guy to mess with the system. Knowledge is good, knowledge is not evil. Okay, fine. So go look at his intentions. He wants to know what the halachos are. Why? Because he knows he's right. Then fine, then let him know it. Don't give it to a guy who wants you to do it just to win, even though he knows he's not right.
So that's the point of the system comes before the yachid. Because now it's true, we may have... Well, I'll say two things, right? First off, if this guy is really right, then there's no reason for him to get this... Right?
No,
to get this guy.
No. Then
secondly...
No, there is a reason.
Yeah.
Because the other guy might have more knowledge, the other guy might be able to maneuver...
You're saying because the other guy's a manipulator.
Yeah. Whether he's not...
Oh, okay, so that's...
Forget about being a manipulator. He might just have information. He might just have information to know what to say and to know what not to say.
So, which is exactly the information we're talking about pursuing right now, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, we're saying you only need this information if the other guy has this information. But really, we would say this information is not good information.
No!
Better people.
Who said this information is not good? Yeah, Isn't that knowledge? I don't understand that. Then you're going back to saying knowledge is evil.
No, knowledge is not evil.
You said this information is not good. Is it good or is it not good? That's what I want.
Knowledge with bad intent is evil, right?
Okay, so the knowledge is evil.
Let me give you an example. In other words, the Roman has a case that if, let's say, for instance, a guy is it comes to Bezin and he's making a claim, right? And then an aide comes, that testifies something against him, right? So the Rambam says that the dayan should turn to the guy and say, well, what do you say now? Right? And maybe the guy will back down, right? But the Rambam says you shouldn't tell the guy, don't worry about it, he's one aide, he has no, we don't listen to one aide.
Mm-hmm.
You see, now if the guy doesn't back down, obviously you don't accept one aide. His aidus has no force. You need to aid him. Right? But the Rambam says the dayan shouldn't tell the guy right away that don't worry about it, his aidus, that's not aidus. Right? Because why? Because maybe the guy, maybe this guy's telling the truth, and maybe the guy, the litigant, will come clean. You know, maybe he's concealing something and he'll come clean. So give him a chance to come clean before you tell him that this is not aidus. Right? So this is the same kind of thing. And then as the Rambam's saying, if you'll tell the guy right away that don't worry about this, maybe there's some thing that he's going to admit to. So you're trying to get to justice, right? Now if you have the guy, obviously if the guy knows, if he was prepped right away that you need Shnei Edim and Eid Echad is nothing, so obviously that's it. He's not going to be affected by that possibility. You know what I'm saying? So it's the same type of thing. And as a guy who's a Talmud Chacham would automatically know, I don't have to worry about that. If he's concealing anything, he's not going to be worried. Right? Whereas if a guy doesn't have the knowledge, right, he may be, that may affect him. Right? And he may, admit to what he's doing.
Isn't it possible that's going to happen for the guy who's right? Maybe he sees this aid and he's like, all right, I'm done. I can't win this case anymore. So aren't we screwing him now?
Okay, but I'm just saying, you know, the Rambam is saying in that case, it would be if the judge would immediately tell the guy that don't worry about this aid, right? So the Rambam is saying that would be, you know, you'd be missing an opportunity to see if the guy's give up the case.
Right. Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So that would be, you know, that's the same sort of thing. He's saying that would be like a distortion of justice if the judge would immediately tell the guy that.
But isn't it possible it's a distortion of justice the other way too?
The what? Case? And now the guy,
the guy who really is right
might back down because he figures, okay, that's it. I have no chance.
Yeah, I have no chance.
That's right.
Isn't it possible both ways? Why are we choosing this one?
So that apparently, if the guy backs down, the judge apparently will. In other words, if the guy backs down, right, and the judge sees he's just lost, he's not really, he wasn't really lying. He's backing down because he's afraid. Right. So the judge is supposed to say, "Well, one second here." The judge is supposed to be able to discern. When the man backs down, is it because he's admitting he was lying? Or is he backing down because really he was telling the truth? The only thing is, he thinks that he's not going to win, so he capitulates.
Right.
The judge is supposed to be able... The judge is supposed to get to the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But sometimes to get to the truth, it's more advantageous to have the guy come to court without knowing so much. In other words, to come to court as a naive person, and let's just here get down to the real truth. Okay? So sometimes when a guy knows more, it makes the job of the judge more difficult. Because his job is really to ultimately get down to the final truth and see what really is happening. Okay? Now sometimes when you have people that don't really know, are not so sophisticated, you could see right through them, and you could see what's the real truth here. Whereas the more knowledge a guy has, he could be more sophisticated, and he could, distort the law for his. He could thwart the attempts of the judge. Okay, so
that makes sense.
Right. So what happens is it's really the what's that? Right? And that's what they're saying is the court is set up in a way that we're trying to uncover the real truth of the matter. Okay? And what happens is, if a guy comes with less knowledge, sometimes it's easier. Okay, if you supply the guy with knowledge, now that's true. If the guy has the knowledge, well, that's the given. I mean, what are you going to tell? The guy should erase his knowledge? I mean, that's the status quo. But if you're coming in to change the status quo, you're really doing something that, what's it your business to, you're altering the situation. And you're making it more difficult for the judge to find out what's going on. Okay? So that's the area where it's saying it's a distortion. You're manipulating the system. It's a manipulation of the system. And even though in this case you're 100% justified, but you have no right to interfere with the system. You know? That's the thing. Okay? So that's what he's saying, really, that an individual, that the system comes before an individual. Okay? Okay, so that's the Rambam. All right? So, right? It makes sense. Okay. So Rashi has a different shot. If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says like this, that what does Orchid Dayanim say? Mean? So first he starts off similar to what the Rambam says. But then he says like this. He says, Ketzad. Okay, if you look a few lines down in the Rashi, he has Ketzad. What's the case of Orchid Dayanim? He says, Imbo Shnayim Lefanecha Ledin. If you have two people that come before you in din, the Tanu Tanasam, and they bring their Tainas, Keshe Tevarer Adin Lehechen Hu Nota Al Tegala Liyachid Es Dino. Okay? So the halacha is when the Dayanim decide the case, so they've already decided. They had Gmar Din, and they've already decided who's guilty and who's innocent. Okay, or who's Chayiv and who's Zakeh. So Rashi says the Dayan should not go over to one of them and tell them you won the case.
Before the Gemar Din is given?
The Gemar Din has to be yes to both of them.
Oh, it shouldn't be to one.
At the same time.
Yeah, at the same time. He can't go over to one and say, yeah, I just want to let you know you won the case. And then tell the other guy, okay, you have to pay him. You see? Should not reveal it to one guy before the other. But it has to be to both of them equally. Okay? Even though it's not going to make a difference, you get.
I just want to know, is Rashi just reinterpreting the case, or saying it's just a separate case he's giving us?
He's saying this is Orchid Dayan. Orchid Dayan means where the Dayan prepares for one guy. I'm going to tell you, gives him the thing.
So don't make yourself like Orchid Dayan is talking about this case?
Yeah, because he says Orchid Dayan is Orkos Shel Ovdei Kochavim. Because that's the way, I didn't read the rest of Rashi, but he says like this. He says, Ela Lishnem Biyachad Pesach Lenas Adin. Tell them both together. It should be totally up front. L'chayev Esachayev L'zakev Esachayev. He says, V'lo Tase Atzmacha Karkos Shel Kusim. Don't do like the Gentile courts do. What do? They go, their minig is to tell the one guy first and you know, gain a certain kind of favor with him. Like, you know, you go over to the guy and say, yeah, I want you to know you won the case. So they do that because they, you know, this way now the guy owes them. Like, they're acting as if they, you know, pushed it in his favor. Yeah, you're in. You got it. Yeah.
Well, so we see from that the judge has an agenda there.
Judge has an agenda. That's right.
So we don't want this guy. I mean, it's bad. It's bad. The judge has an agenda. I think people would agree to that.
Everybody would agree, yes, that if the judge has an agenda, meaning what? Meaning that he
wants to get on some guy's good side.
That's right. Okay. So what's the chiddush? I mean, obviously, yeah, a judge who's going to he's distorting justice, right? So what are they saying? In other words, they're saying it doesn't mean they didn't distort justice. In other words, they judged the case justly. He really deserved to win, right? They didn't push the case in his favor. He deserved to win 100%. It was an open and shut case. Okay? But the only thing is, afterwards, the judge goes over to him before he delivers the din. He tells him, by the way, you won. Yeah.
But it's basically, essentially turning out that now when he's making a psak, he's going to be making a psak in his own favor. Because when he delivers a favorable psak for one guy, this is something he can use to his benefit.
That's right.
That's so he's exactly basically passing it on himself.
Well,
for he's an agenda in the case, because if he says yes, right,
that guy is definitely right. He's going to be right.
Then
that guy's
it's giving him a, you know, now he has something.
That's right. In other words, you cannot, even if the agenda doesn't affect the judgment. Even if the agenda is just how I give over the judgment, that I'm going to curry a certain type of favor with that guy. I showed that, hey, I like you. You see, even if it's after the decision has been already decided by the judges, that's still considered an agenda. You're not allowed to do that. In other words, you're not allowed to use any part of the judgment for your favor, for the favor of the dayan. Even if it's just how you deliver the judgment. You absolutely decided 100% objectively. You didn't favor this guy at all. Okay? So in terms of practical justice, you didn't favor the guy. The guy got exactly what they deserved. But it's saying, even in how you deliver the judgment, if you show any favoritism, that's considered a distortion of din. You know what I mean? That is, the dayan cannot get any type of benefit out of any part of the judicial process. Okay? That's according to Rashi, that's what it's telling you. That's still considered a distortion of din, even though in terms of the actual din, there was no distortion.
Well, it's going to turn out, though, that your din is, you're directly affecting you. Because if you say yes, you're literally giving yourself a chip to use.
That's right. I see. So you're saying that there's no way that he wasn't influenced in how...
Yeah, he's giving himself a chip, you know?
He's giving himself a chip, right.
That he can use.
So you know, as you're saying, he must have been influenced in how he decided.
Right. It's literally in his favor. He's
right. It would seem right. I mean, that would seem to be the reason behind it. You know, even if the guy feels he decided 100% justly, you cannot do anything that indicates that you got some kind of benefit. That's right. Yeah, that's true. Because then it means in the back of your mind there was some kind of leaning towards that guy.
Right.
That's true. That would seem to be the case.
Yeah. I mean, now we have this. We have that in the system. Like, it's conceivable. There's some guy who, you know, gives justly. But if we have this part of the system now, anyone who comes into this, they know there's you know, anytime the judge is going to give me a chip in their favor.
That's right.
You know, for someone they want to get close to.
That's true. That is true.
They're literally making judgment for, you know, a call for themselves.
Right. When you decide, you could say, I didn't decide any differently, but the fact is that there's some kind of benefit you got. That's really distortion.
Right. People can't separate like full objectivity and whatnot, but he's literally giving himself something when he's
right. He's giving himself something, even if it's just a good feeling that, hey,
but that's something.
That is something. Even if money didn't change hands, you might say, hey, money didn't change hands. So I said to the guy, I'm going to tell him anyways. They're going to find out anyways. So what? So I told this guy before that guy. That right there is favoritism.
Networking is big.
That's right.
Yeah, just trying to make connections.
That's right. Okay.
How is that showing favoritism, just to tell one guy first?
How is that telling favoritism?
Yeah. Let's say I had no...
Well, I told the guy that won.
Oh, meaning if I told the guy that lost? Well,
Yes, if I told the guy, I wouldn't go to the guy that lost and say, oh, by the way, I just want to let you know, you lost. Just between me and you, you lost. You know what I mean?
Unless you do it to, like, prep the guy, like, let's just want to let you know, the judge's not going to come out in your favor.
You see, that you couldn't do either, right? If you want to prep the guy, like, I just want, you know, I want to... I want to ease the blow. You lost. And I want to let you know because, you know, sometimes if, you know, in other words, it's consideration. You see, even if the guy lost and you went and told him first, it's consideration. You're treating this guy differently. Any shinoi. I mean, it's an interesting point. Yeah. It's not necessarily, it's not necessarily because I'm telling him news he wants to hear and now, you see, he's going to like me. It's a shinoi. I'm showing, well, why did I go to this guy and tell him he lost? Obviously, I have sympathetic feelings for him. Right. And I couldn't make the din go his way because I have to judge justly. But I have sympathetic feelings for him. I have some kind of personal relationship with him that I don't have with that guy.
Right, that's no good.
That is no good.
Meaning, like, we're saying that's just not the place of the judge. You can't do that.
Cannot express any type of personal function in the courtroom. Any personal action in the courtroom is asur. Hmm. Apparently. Any personal action. Even if it's to tell the guy you lost. That shows you have some kind of thing with him. No good. He has to be purely just a object of your judicial concern. And if he's an object of anything else, anything outside of the judicial framework, any kind of personal framework is asur. Doesn't matter what it is, it would appear. Interesting thing. There's no room for the personal.
That's interesting.
Interesting thing. Right? And that you find, halacha is, if one, you can't hear the case of one guy unless the other guy's standing there. The other guy's got to be there. They have to be treated simply, totally objectively. Without any kind of subject, there can't be, there's no room for any subjectivity at all. Right? Okay. Then you see this really is followed through in the second part of the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah says, Ukashiyu Bali Dinim Omdim Lufanecha, Yiyu Beinecha Kirishoim. You find really an interesting thing, because we just said that there should be no type of attitude vis-a-vis the litigants. It should be just an objective thing. Okay? Now the Mishnah says, when the Balei Dinim are standing in front of you, you should look at them both as Rishayim, as evil people. Okay? And then after they leave, they should be in your eyes as righteous, as innocent. Okay? But while they're standing in front of you, it's a quick switch. During the case, they're Rishayim. The moment the judgment has been given, and they accept the judgment, then they're both tzaddikim. Okay? But why are they Rishayim in front of you? So the Rashi says, actually, Rabbeinu Yonah is a little clearer. He says, Shlo yite libcha el echad mehen. You should not lean your favor to one of them. Velo tachshov kihut hatzadik bedino. And you see, you should not think in your mind, this guy is a tzaddik. This one guy is definitely correct. He's definitely a tzaddik. And he's somebody that I respect. Okay? He says, She'im kain la'olam lo sadun hadin la'amito. You cannot judge fairly. Why? Ki shrirus libcha im zeh. Okay, the straight thoughts of your heart are with him. Okay, velosucha liros lo chova. You will not be able to see him as guilty. Right? In other words, you should never. So what's it saying? In other words, you listen to the case and you see, you hear what this guy's saying. You're going, this guy is a innocent guy. I mean, he's a straight guy. And you listen to the other guy. You go, I mean, the guy's an animal. Right? You have a guy in front of you. One guy's an absolute animal. The guy's a thief. You can see the way the guy's talking, the way the guy's presenting the case. The other guy's a yasher guy. He's been victimized. The guy is a innocent, idle, regular, nice guy, and this guy's an animal, right? And you can see from the way they're talking and the cases that they're presenting, the taina against this guy's defense. You see, this guy's victimized, an innocent guy, and this guy's, the guy is a vicious guy, right? That if a judge forms that opinion, he's over this thing. No matter what the case is, no matter how blatant it is that this guy is victimized and he's an innocent guy, he's the nicest guy in the world. If the judge has that impression, he can't judge. He has to look at them both. You guys are both liars. You're absolute liars. Everything you're saying is absolutely false. And that's what they're saying. Yeah, the judge, the dying, must look at both people as if they are liars. Right? I mean, that's what he's saying. Because if he doesn't, I'm not going to be able to judge fairly. So, I mean, it's a funny thing. Because you're listening to a case, you're forming certain impressions, and yet you must keep this in mind that they're both lying. Yeah.
You know, on one hand, like, impressions are good. You know, you can really definitely get an idea of a person. I think that's true. But on the other hand, like, impression cannot tell you about a particular. So you may have an impression this guy's a good guy, but it's, I mean, in particulars, you know, like, a good guy is not perfect, you know? We don't have a perfect guy. So even though we have impressions, and that could lead you to certain, you know.
That's very good. That's very good, yes. In other words, the guy could generally be a just guy, but the din does not depend on his general character or anything of that sort. The din depends on certain details. This guy, in fact, one guy may be a Rasha, the other guy may be a tzaddik. The fact that he's a Rasha doesn't make him a chayv to pay the money. You know what I mean? And the fact that this guy's a tzaddik does not make him entitled to receive the money. You know what I mean? That judgment is based on particulars. This guy may be a tzaddik, but if there's one particular that he is concealing, or that he is mistaken about, he's not entitled to the money. You know what I mean? So the Rambam saying, the Rabbeinu Yonah is saying, the Mishnah is saying, that if you form an impression of the guy, that stands in the way of you seeing the truth. Because the truth depends on particulars. And a guy could be the biggest tzaddik in the world, but he could be hiding one fact that's crucial. Or he may be even just mistaken about one fact. You see? You won't be able to... The only way... In other words, the only way a dayan, any person, could only... Really what the dayan has to do is the dayan has to uncover and go after every single piece of information, every fact, to try to get down to the ultimate justice. He must look into every fragment of the case. That's really his job. His job is to uncover every single detail and go through every nook and cranny till there's nothing left to pursue. You know what I mean? You can only do that with a certain type of frame of mind. If he's saying, I have to disregard, I have to treat every single thing this man is saying as if it's suspect, let me scrutinize it to the nth degree. That's really what it's saying, that the justice depends on the details. And the only way you could have true justice is if the Dayan is able to scrutinize every word the man is saying as if it's totally suspect. As if the man is a total liar, let me scrutinize this statement as if the man is a genius liar and try to discover any flaw in his statement. You see, that's the attitude. That's really what they're saying the justice is from that type of action. And if there's any type of assumption of truth, that's not justice. Because it means you didn't scrutinize the man as if he's a total liar. Well, that means that if you knew the man was a total liar, you would scrutinize every syllable the guy says. Now, why aren't you doing this? Because he's saying, oh, come on, this guy's not lying. You see, that's not justice. That is not justice. Right, I'm saying that's really the idea of justice. The idea of justice is every detail has to be scrutinized. And it's impossible to do that without a certain frame of mind. Not possible.
What do you have a certain frame of mind?
Without the frame of mind of total suspicion.
Oh, so yeah, because if you're not suspicious of one thing, then you're not scrutinizing it.
In other words, if you become suspicious, you go, oh, one second, let me... Right, the moment you have that attitude of suspicion, immediately the things that you just went over your head, you go, hey, oh, one second, back up a little there. What does that mean? That means that before you had that attitude, you weren't really looking into what the man is saying. It's not justice. So it's saying that a human being really has a flaw because he's not really a scrutinizer by nature. He doesn't really have the knowledge. How do you know whether a man is lying? It's an internal thing. There's no way, really, to discover 100% what his true thoughts are. Sometimes he doesn't even know. So a man, by nature, doesn't really have the ability to attain total justice. You know what I mean? So the only cure for that is a total attitude of suspicion. If you don't have that attitude, you're not doing the job to the degree it has to be done. It's impossible. Right? So that's the thing. Like, you notice, like, when a person becomes suspicious, all of a sudden, he's scrutinizing every detail. Like, what are you... You know, you could tell if a guy's suspicious if he starts asking you some kinds of questions. Like, well, what are you... What are you? What are you suspecting me of? You know, whereas the guy doesn't. You go, okay. That's really how the dine has to function. Interesting thing. So I mean, it's showing you that the limitation of a person's ability to attain MS is a limitation. If he doesn't adopt this type of frame of mind, he's not going to ride the MS. It's an interesting thing. I mean, I wonder, like, if you go, like, to judges, you know, like a regular judge in an American court, you know, like, if you don't have this idea of suspicion, okay, I could just, okay, sounds reasonable. You know, what am I going to start attacking every point the guy's saying? I mean, the man sounds reasonable. This is a reasonable type of... See, it is an interesting thing. If you watch, I know I bring this up sometimes, but Judge Judy, you know, I like watching that show because, you know, she's pretty good. She's pretty, pretty sharp, you know, but you do see that she forms an opinion. Like, a guy starts talking, she goes... she gives you the sense, I could tell when a person's lying. I know, I could tell, you know, I've been doing this for 40 years, you know, they didn't put me up here for my good looks, like, you know, like she gives these lines, but she goes, believe me, I know when you're lying, you know? And she's after the guy. You can see, like, she senses some kind of, what do you call it in the story, some kind of inconsistency. Oh, then she's after the guy. And no matter what the guy says, she doesn't believe the guy, you see? But another person, the person talks, okay, you know, she's not after the person to the same degree. Like, when the person talks and she, it sounds true, that's what she says. A thing that sounds true, usually, something that's a lie doesn't have the ring of truth. You see? That's a certain type of impression she's already formed. Like, she has an idea of what sounds true. You see, that's very good generally. But it doesn't always work. Because if you have a guy that's a real liar, he knows how to produce a story that has the ring of truth. You know what I mean? And that will get past the diet. Most cases won't. Most cases she'll be right. Because the average guy doesn't really have an ability to lie and conceal his lying. When he lies, you can tell. The guy's, the way he looks, she says, like, look at me. Like, she sees the guy's looking down. Okay, that's a simon that he's concealing something. Fine. So that generally works. But not always. Because if a guy is a professional, he can produce all of the earmarks of truth and be lying through his teeth. You know what I mean? So she falls prey to this thing. She's relying on Shrieris Libo. You know, her Shrieris Libo tell her, this has the ring of truth. And she doesn't really look into it. But that's what Pirkei Avos is saying. And that type of thing, which really makes sense to the average person, it's a reasonable thing. You know, you feel that the Dayan has been doing this for so many years, he knows the earmarks of truth and falsehood. That's what the Mishnah is telling you. Do not rely on that impression, because that is really just a superficial thing. It may work very often, but in justice, you need emes. So emes means you cannot rely on that sense, even though very often it's accurate. You must ignore that sense and say, okay, this guy sound has all the ring of truth, but I am going to look at him like he's a total liar and I have to suspect every single word he says. You see? That's really what it's saying. And I think if she would employ this, she would lose her show in a day. Because people would, you know what I mean? It's just, she's just attacking everybody. I mean, she's suspicious of everything. It doesn't, would not have the commercial appeal. You know what I mean? Because the audience is looking and they're identifying with certain people. But this is really, the true justice is not entertainment. It's not entertaining. It's something that's very, actually very painful for the judge. It's a very painful thing because you operate with these notions and you give a certain credence to them. You feel like, oh, I could see the guys. Now you have to reject that and go, no, I have to be suspicious of that guy. That goes against... That's something that good. That's a painful thing to do. I have to be suspicious of a guy that I pretty much know. He's, it's like a very, very requires tremendous effort. You know what I mean? That's the thing. That's why Dayan don't do it, because they have to have a sense of what's makes sense. You're using your street sense. Mm-hmm. You say, can't do that. The street sense has to be as if everybody's a liar. Which I guess really goes against your sense of niceness. You want a certain chesed, niceness. You have to be suspect everybody. That's a painful thing. But that's really the thing. I guess it's a lesson also. If a person has to deal, when a person deals with somebody and he has to find out what's going on, He has to have this attitude also. Like, I guess in a business deal, person has to be suspicious. The other guy is lying. He's my best friend. Now he's a liar. Right? That's really would be the right way to proceed. Interesting. Yeah, not an easy thing. Difficult thing to do. That's the thing.
Funny, I kind of had a random observation this week, just in terms of making like this is going to be very mundane, but like just making assumptions, you know? Because we make really so many assumptions in everyday life. So like, I bought this coffee creamer from Trader Joe's, and when it's OUD, right?
Right.
When it, and when I looked at my receipt later, it said non-dairy creamer, right? I just figured it's a mistake. Okay, whatever, it's not, they logged it. It's OUD, you know?
Right.
And then someone else looked at it, they said it's lactose free. This is lactose free. And they looked at the ingredients, like, I'm not sure if this is actually dairy. So I realized, like, in buying it, I made the assumption that it was dairy because I saw the D. Not realizing that, you know, the most of the time it's accurate, but they have a little bit of, let's say, an agenda involved or whatever it is that they, for some kind of, be a little over precautious thing, and write, you know?
Right. I mean, so you actually wanted a dairy cream.
I wanted a dairy. It's not good. I don't like
it. Oh, that's funny.
It's funny, yeah. But it's just in terms of just making assumptions, you know, like we just...
That's right.
Make assumptions.
Because it's true.
Like, when I saw the receipt, that's when I checked out. I should have... Oh, why is this like this? What's going on here?
Right. Ah. That's right. But you went with Shriris Levy. Come on, this is dairy. This is dairy. That's what it's called. Like where you feel you have a sense of what things are. There's a sense, which is good too, because you need to function with a sense. Because to be constantly suspicious impedes your function. You know, you have to. It depends on the situation. Depends on the situation.
Wait, how do you balance it out with the idea, like I said, and like trying to see good, like.
That's the end of the mission. We'll do that next time. That's the end of the mission. But that's. There's no room for chesed in the courtroom. Courtroom is MS.
Oh, this is a shofar. Okay.
That's right, shofar. It has to be MS.
Okay.
MS demands that you not follow your inclination. You have to treat the man as if every word he says is an absolute lie.
How do you know that?
Right.
Right.
What's your name? Liar. What's your age? Liar.
I don't know what's
your name. Alrighty.